nothing that's grim,
nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday. It is October 28th, and you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG. I'm Eric, your host, and it's an exciting morning here at Backstage because I've got two wonderful in-studio guests, and we're going to be talking all about a show that's opening very soon at the Warner Theater's Nancy Marine Studio Theater. It's going to be Murder on the Orient Express, based, of course, on the Agatha Christie book of the same name. It's opening November 4th and running through November 19th. You can get your tickets at warnertheater.com. And here to talk all about it this morning, I'm joined by two of the members of the cast. I'm joined by Mike Ziska and Marilyn Olson. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Eric.
Hi, Eric. Thank you.
It's great to have you both here. I've had the distinct pleasure of working with both of you over the years.
That's a pleasure? You call that a pleasure?
I do. I absolutely
Some people call
do.
It a sentence.
Well, Silent Sky was a little rough.
Yeah, I kind of beat up on you a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, these things happen. But, no, you're both amazingly talented performers. You give such honest portrayals of the characters that you portray. Oh, that was terrible. I repeated the word. My English teacher brain is screaming at me right now. But you both make it look so effortless, which is just... Marilyn, you were just in the Warner's International Playwright Festival, and you were performing in something that you got very short notice on doing because somebody got sick or had an emergency or something. You had access to your lines on stage, but it looked like you'd been doing it for weeks. It's not fair.
Well, part of the backstory of that is that it's just very good writing. So it makes it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Plus, working with Lucia as a director and Martha as a scene partner, it takes a lot of the stress off.
I would imagine so. And Mike, we've worked together three times now. Of Mice and Men, we did And Then There Were None. And just recently we did Clue. And again, it's effortless for you. You just sort of slip right into what you're doing. It's fully realized, and it makes things easier for everybody else.
Just for the studio audience, I want you to know that Eric's nose is growing right now. Flattery will get you everywhere.
The check is in the mail, right, Mike?
Sounds like you two specialize in murder mysteries, too.
Yeah.
I've always been the suspect, though. Mm. This is the first time I'm the detective.
Yes, you are playing the famous Hercule Poirot, the famous Agatha Christie detective who appeared in many of her murder mystery stories, and who has been immortalized on screen in a variety of fashions. You had most recently Kenneth Branagh. Who was the gentleman in the BBC?
David Suchet.
And even Albert Finney, I believe,
Albert Finney did the first movie of Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm. And the defining characteristic of Poirot, beyond his Sherlock Holmes-esque attention to detail, of course, is the famous mustache,
mm-hmm.
Which has had a variety of interpretations over the years. Kenneth Branagh had sort of a double mustache and
he varied that.
Mm.
I mean, it's his several movies, he's changed the look of that mustache several times.
Yeah. But in the BBC series, it was more of a sort of a curled pencil mustache.
That's right,
and,
yes.
I can't recall Albert Finney's off the top of my head, but there was commentary on his mustache back then as well.
That's right. And there was even one actor who played Poirot clean-shaven, which I would be very, very interested in seeing. I haven't actually seen it, but I did read about the several actors who've played him over the years, and they did mention one that played him clean-shaven. I just can't imagine that.
Yeah.
That's what he's known for, his extravagant mustache. The whole process that he uses to take care of it.
He's very fussy with it.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, he's fussy in general, yeah.
Well, he had an accident. He shaved it off, and it was a mistake.
That must be it.
But I can assume that the audiences will be treated to a mustache.
See a mustache.
Of great quality.
Absolutely. And I will leave it to their imaginations as to whether or not it's real.
You know. So Murder on the Orient Express, would either of you care to give the audience a brief preview synopsis of what to expect from the show?
Marilyn, you want to take it?
Well, the show is full of dialects.
Mm, that is true.
there are people from all over Europe, both Eastern and Western Europe, as well as America. Mm-hmm. So it's quite the display of different sounds. The Belgians have a French accent, and there's a Swedish, and there's Russian, and there's Hungarian.
And Marilyn does them all.
It's actually a two-person show. Is what
right.
It is. Mike is playing Poirot, and Marilyn's playing
everything else.
Every other character.
But no, it's set on the famed Orient Express train.
That's
and
right.
You would have a very international cast of characters riding the train from destination to destination. So you're going to hear, as Marilyn mentioned, those different dialects. And since we mentioned murder mystery, I assume that there's a dead body somewhere along the way.
Somewhere along the way.
Yes, we do encounter a dead person, and it's one of the few that almost stumps our famous Hercule. But yes, it starts off in Istanbul, and we're on our way to Paris, and along the way we find somebody dead. So who done it?
And it's almost like one of those locked room mysteries, because it's, you know, everyone's confined to the train, so it has to be somebody that's there in theory. Although, you never know, maybe somebody jumped
it
the train.
It could be somebody came onto the train.
It's wonderfully done. I read the book over the summer. I've seen the Kenneth Branagh version of the film. Very tense. There's a lot of great suspense that goes on, and the whodunit aspect of it. The only one we're reasonably sure didn't do it is Poirot. Everybody else.
Ah,
is
but
up
just
for grabs.
Just remember my history at the Warner. I've been a suspect in every show.
That's true. That is true. You were a suspect, and then there were none when we did that. 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah. Oh yes.
So you can never really count out anybody, I suppose. And it's opening soon. You're going to Tech tomorrow, I believe.
That's right. The famous Tech Sunday and kicking off Hell Week, as we call it. It's going to be our first time working with the set tomorrow, too, so we're very excited about that. The whole thing takes place on the train, and that's not true. The first scene is before we get to there, but
in a dining room in Istanbul.
Right, right.
Not Constantinople.
Not Constantinople.
At this point, was it? You know, I guess it was Istanbul by then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Because this is was it post World War One, pre World War Two?
1934.
There you go. I think it was in Istanbul at the time.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating to have a show set on a train in a theater.
Yeah.
And I know that it was done at, was it Hartford Stage?
Hartford Stage
was one of the first productions of the show. In fact, I think in the playbook it's given credit as the first
premiere?
Sight of the play.
Wow.
Oh. And then it transferred to Broadway for a bit, and now here it's coming to us in the greater Litchfield area over at Torrington's Warner Theater. So very exciting. Speaking of exciting, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, I must be getting addled in my old age, I do have a pair of tickets that I'm going to be giving away to go see the show. So if you're looking to win something, today might be your day. But we'll talk more about that later on. In the meantime, while Murder on the Orient Express is not a musical, I do enjoy playing music every morning. So I do have some music that kind of goes along with what the show's all about. So,
oh, I can't wait to hear this. What's he got?
So first up is Always Look on the Bright Side of Life from... No.
That
would be... Spamalot.
No,
everyone whistle.
Well, that is a fabulous song. It doesn't really fit the vibe, I think, for murder. But I have actually, first up, I have a number from Jekyll and Hyde, which, Marilyn, you were in at the Warner not that long ago.
I was.
Back in 2020, February 2020, I believe
right.
It was.
Right before the shutdown.
Yep. So here from the original Broadway cast recording of Jekyll and Hyde is a song that speaks to the fact that everybody's a suspect in this particular play. This is Facade.
There's a face that we wear light of day.
In society's mask, in society's way.
And the truth is that it's all a facade.
There's a face that we hide till the nighttime appears.
And what's hiding inside behind all of our fears
is our true self locked inside the facade.
Every day, people in their own sweet way lie to add a coat of paint and be what they
sing. But there's one thing I know, and I know it for sure. This disease that we've got has got no ready cure. And I'm certain life is terribly hard
when your life's a facade.
Look around you, I have found you cannot tell by looking at the surface what is lurking there beneath it.
See that face, now I'm prepared to bet you what you see's not what you get, cause man's a master of deceit.
So what is the sinister secret? The lie he will tell you is true.
It's that each man you meet on the street isn't one man, but two.
was Facade from the original Broadway cast recording of Jekyll and Hyde here on Backstage on WZBG. A perfect song for talking about a show like Murder on the Orient Express, because many people in the show might not be what they seem, at least initially. So Murder on the Orient Express is coming to the Warner Theater. It's running from November 4th through the 19th, which means they're opening next weekend. Very exciting. I'm joined this morning by Marilyn Olson and Mike Ziska from the production. And don't forget, I do have a pair of tickets I'll be giving away after What's the Buzz, so at like 9:30, 9:35, somewhere around there. But in the meantime, we're talking all about the show, finding out more about it. Now, Mike, I want to go to you first, because as the famed Hercule Poirot, this is a character that's been interpreted many times over the years, that's been, you know, synonymous with detective stories and murder mysteries and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of information about the character, a lot of things you could go and look at in terms of your research. So how did you want to approach the character of Hercule Poirot?
I wanted to make him at least comfortable for those who mm-hmm. are familiar with Poirot. I mean, obviously there may be a few people who know nothing of Agatha Christie and Poirot, who, you know, will be happy no matter what, I suppose. But I didn't want to make the character too far away from what people are used to. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make him a clown. I didn't, and the script isn't written in that kind of a fashion anyway. It's an interesting script, as you know, Eric. It's Ken Ludwig, who also did Baskerville, which was done at the Warner Theater several years ago. And it's sort of similar in style. He takes he takes a well-known play, or well-known story, at least, in that case, Sherlock Holmes, and he amps up the comedy. But the comedy tends to revolve around, in that play, Sherlock Holmes. The Sherlock Holmes character is much more straight-laced, and the people around him are kind of crazy.
Right.
And it's true in this one as well. I think Poirot is not, you know, is not as funny, I suppose I should say, as some of the other characters. His lines don't convey that. But around him, there are a lot of funny things that are going on. So it's an unusual way of approaching Murder on the Orient Express. But I think Poirot, to me, Poirot had to be a character that sort of fixed the story a little bit, so that
the anchor point
so that people wouldn't be, you know, completely blown away by the story they're seeing. There would be a sense of familiarity to it. So Poirot is more straight-laced, and I probably oriented him a little bit more toward the David Suchet kind of character, but he does have a little bit more fun in the show than Suchet typically.
Definitely.
Suchet's portrait was brilliant, but very tightly wound, very restrained in a lot of senses, and there's space for Poirot to breathe, I think.
Yeah, Poirot that. Even has, I won't say too much about it, but Poirot even has a little bit of a love interest in this show.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Not really. No, I really
don't. You'll just have to come and see it.
Oh, I'm not going to miss it. Trust me, I'm going to be there. But and then Marilyn, and who do you portray in the show?
I'm one of the few Americans in the show.
Interesting.
The character's name is Mrs. Helen Hubbard.
Okay.
And I'm not going to use my dialect, but I am doing one in the show. But you'll have to come to see it.
I was trying to avoid that as well.
to hear it, because it's... well, if anyone knows me, over the top is not nearly as enough. And I'm definitely some of the comic relief in the show.
Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me. Agatha Christie, British national, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Did work Americans into several of her stories, but I think there's always that slight tension between the United States and England, and sometimes American characters in British works can be comic fodder, just as a little like, okay, you threw our tea in the harbor, now you're going to look ridiculous.
Exactly right.
Interesting. And Mrs. What's Mrs. Hubbard? Ms. Hubbard?
Mrs. Hubbard.
Mrs. Hubbard. What's her reason for being on the train? I guess that's a safe question to ask. Why?
Well, she comes from a long line of well-to-do husbands. So she has some disposable income, but her latest husband doesn't like to travel.
Okay.
So, as she says, she does that for the both of them. So she's very much a well-traveled woman, and she loves to explore. We'll just put it that way.
Capturing the spirit of adventure that
exactly
was felt at
right.
the time. Interesting. A long line of well-to-do husbands.
Yes.
And she does like to meet people.
Oh, yeah. kind of nosy, too.
Always on the lookout for the next Mr. Hubbard, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Do you think?
All right. And then is this a larger cast, would you say? Is it a relatively small cast? Because I know the story calls for something like 8 or 10 genuine suspects, and then some train personnel, Poirot.
So there are, what, 11 13? Us?
I think there are about 13, 13? Total in the cast.
Yeah.
Okay. Something like that.
The core cast is about 10. Mm-hmm. Then there's one or two kind of smaller roles.
People that... probably playing multiple parts to, you know, train conductor, server at the restaurant.
Exactly,
that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And of course, with Agatha Christie, you never know whether it's one of those minor characters who might come out at the very end and be the one who did it.
That's right. You have to pay very close attention, because the clues are there. You if you're really, really listening hard and observant, you might be able to figure it out.
And that's what she was going for. She was going for that, and I always go to Sherlock Holmes first, but that idea of if you look at everything, and sometimes it's about eliminating things rather than don't look at what's there, look at what's not there kind of a concept. You could potentially figure it out if you really try hard enough. Now, I will say my first exposure was the Kenneth Branagh film, believe it or not. Mm.
It was well done, though.
It was excellent. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Oh, really?
It was somewhat shocking the first time I saw it, too.
And the reveal at the end was totally brilliant.
Yeah.
And completely unexpected. His follow-up film, I think, was Death on the Nile, and that one I was able to figure out relatively early. You know, so you can play the game. You can be part. You can be your own Poirot while you're sitting watching Mike and Marilyn and the rest of the cast go through all the different steps they have to get through to figure out who done it and probably why. I think that's usually part of the equation. Do you have, I always forget to tell people to bring the note, but do we have a cast list? Can we name some names that are going to be on stage with you?
Yeah, we've got Patrick Spadaccino, who's certainly well known by now to people.
Absolutely.
At the Warner. He's played many, many good roles. You have Christiane Olsen, who is playing Mary Debenham. Daryl Cookman is playing Michelle, the conductor. Mm-hmm. And Susie Hackle will be Princess Dragomirov.
Ooh.
We have Megan Rickard, who is playing Greta Olsen, and Olivia Wadsworth as Countess Andrenyi.
Oh,
she
is
our Hungarian person. We have Jonathan Zaleski, who is playing Colonel Arbuthnot, who is Scottish.
Yet another dialect.
Person. And we have Samuel Ratchet, played by David Macarelli.
Okay.
And, I think we can give this away. Samuel Ratchet is the unfortunate.
Is the victim.
He's Mr. Body in this one.
Yes. Someone has to die, and in this case, it's going to be Mr. Ratchet. But understanding why he dies is a key to unraveling everything else.
Well, I think that most detective stories say that if you know the why, then you will find out the who. And if you don't know the why, you can't know the who.
Mm-hmm.
Because motive is you know, the driving factor.
Yeah. Unless there's no motive. Ooh.
Oh.
But that's not very. That's not a.
Is
great
that
payoff,
a Lindholm
though.
Mystery?
It's not a Lindblom mystery. I know that much. That's you know. But there's something about. I think there's something about detective stories that's just fascinating for audiences, and I don't know if it's the play along aspect of it or just the concept of figuring out the why behind it. You know, why do people do what they do? Were either of you fans of detective stories in at any point in your lives?
Oh, I like them right now.
Oh, I yeah. used to read them all the time. Don't have so much time anymore, but Agatha Christie was something that I read quite a bit in high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
Love her stuff.
And so many of the detective series are focused around some kind of a detective who has quirks of one kind or another. And I think...
Flawed sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe the Sherlock Holmes character was one of the first to really develop that persona. But now there are so many different series with detectives that have one kind of strange thing about them or another. You know, we have the Poirot is the fussy one. We've got Miss Marple, you know, just somebody, an elderly woman.
Little old lady.
Yeah, yeah. Who's
very proper.
Who's stereotyped by everybody around her and is sharper than everybody in the room.
Well, that was Angela Lansbury in Murder, She Wrote, too.
Mm-hmm.
She was a writer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. And
that's
very
right.
much underestimated, particularly by dudes. Calling back to Silent Sky.
There you go.
Well, what's interesting, though, Eric, is I think that Poirot was a character that Agatha Christie got tired of.
Really?
After a while. She got fed up with her own character.
And in started fact, to irritate her.
Yeah, sure. And in fact killed him off in one of her mysteries. So get rid of that little man. She never did tire of Miss Marple, though.
Well, I suppose she grew into being Miss Marple eventually.
That could be.
I could see the character being a bit draining after a while, though, because to honor those idiosyncrasies that he has consistently and then to find stories that are challenging enough for his mind that he doesn't immediately jump to, because I think even in the Sherlock Holmes, well, the more modern Sherlock Holmes stories, they sort of project that oh, he's got it figured out before the person's even done telling the story and the setup for the mystery. So you want a character, I guess, that exists in a universe that you can keep it interesting and not have to. You're going to have to work at it, but you don't want to have to go to extreme lengths to. You don't want to jump the shark at any point.
Yeah.
But we're waxing philosophical about the inner workings of the mind of someone.
Not
who's
that I'm in any way a writer, so I can't really speak to that. But just from interpretation, I guess it does, because you know you don't want to do the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
And with murder mysteries, you have to make it fresh, mm-hmm. Because if you're telling the same story in a different setting, then people will get tired of that. Your fans will get tired of that.
Right.
But the British really seem to love their murder mysteries. My wife and I were just watching Midsummer Murders again last night, and I think they're in their 23rd or 24th season. Can
oh,
you
my
imagine?
Goodness.
24 years of the same, essentially the same. They've had two different detective pairs mm-hmm. on the show. But I'm thinking that, you know, 24 years, people love their British detectives.
Sure. Why not? Well, there's something so charming about them, I think. Well, to an American audience, very much so, that we're always charmed by the Brits and the way they speak and the way they carry themselves and their stoic nature and so on and
Stiff
so forth.
Stiff upper lip.
Yes, of course.
Well, maybe that's why Agatha Christie got tired of Poirot, because he was Belgian.
Oh, right. That's right. He wasn't a Brit.
That's opening up a whole other can of worms we don't need to get into. I'm talking this morning with Mike Ziska and Marilyn Olson all about Murder on the Orient Express, which is opening at the Warner Theater next weekend, November 4th, running through November 19th. You can get tickets at warnertheater.org. Or stay tuned. I'm giving away a pair of tickets in just a little bit. But in the meantime, it's 9:31, so we should probably pause for a quick word, and then we will come back and we will talk about the buzz.
Being isolated and lonely can be harmful to your health, resulting in high blood pressure, a greater risk of heart disease, and early onset dementia. So it's important to build and maintain social connections. Try a new hobby, volunteer, exercise, or use your phone or other device to stay in touch. Visit connecttoeffect.org to find resources and ways to stay connected. Presented by AARP Foundation with support from United Healthcare.
All right, let's look at the buzz, shall we? Performances. Goshen Players have announced their production of All Is Calm, an a cappella musical about the Christmas Eve truce of 1914. That's going to be running November 25th through December 10th. Tickets are going fast, so if you're interested, go to goshenplayers.org. Landmark Community Theater is wrapping up their production of the Rocky Horror Show tonight with their final performance. There may be some tickets left. I can't guarantee anything. Go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org to find out more about that. The Phoenix Stage Company's announced their upcoming production of the Farndale Avenue Christmas Carol. Now, that's the short version of the title. The actual title is about 37 minutes long. But that's going to be running December 2nd through December 16th over at the Phoenix Stage Company facility in Oakville, Connecticut. You can go to phoenixstagecompany.org for tickets and information. TheatreWorks New Milford has announced their upcoming production of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That's going to be running December 8th through December 31st. They're doing a special New Year's Eve gala performance. Go to theaterworks.us to find out more about that. And, of course, as we've been talking about here this morning on Backstage, the Warner Theater is putting on Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, opening next Saturday, November 4th, running through November 19th. Go to warnertheater.org for tickets and info. And that is the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for a quick word from a sponsor, and then we'll be back, and I have that pair of tickets to give away.
A man has been murdered on board the most luxurious train in the world, his compartment locked from the inside, every passenger a suspect. My name is Hercule Poirot. I am a detective, and I must solve a most baffling case of murder on the Orient Express.
November 4th through 19th on stage at the Warner's Nancy Marine Studio Theater. Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. Sponsored by Northwest Community Bank. Media sponsor FM 97.3 WZBG. Get your tickets now at warnertheater.org.
And we're back here on Backstage, speaking of Murder on the Orient Express. I did say I have a pair of tickets to give away to Murder on the Orient Express at the Nancy Marine Studio Theater. These tickets are going to be good for any one performance of the show, November 4th through November 19th. As long as you have not won anything within the last 30 days, you are eligible to win. So I'm going to pick a random caller. All you got to do is call the station, 860-567-3697. That's 860-567-3697. And in the meantime, you can be listening to another track from Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, rather apropos of the show. This is Murder, Murder.
Read about the hideous murder, profane religious murder, that poor old bishop, what a shock.
Seen walking with his daughter, a moment prior to slaughter,
the shepherd tending to his flock.
He died in a London slum,
a slave to martyrdom.
He died without complaint,
he should be made a saint.
His life had come to God,
it all seems very odd. Why should he be?
Just like that other murder, that poor old General Glossop, dead.
Last week that bishop copped it, that bloke that done it hopped it, that fella must be off his head. That's two in the last 4 days, this killer has fancy ways.
To kill outside St. Paul's requires a lot of balls.
He hates the upper class, he must be on his ass. Who could he be?
You never know whom you might encounter.
Pumpkin has a killer on the loose.
Could be a gang.
Gotta get his head inside the noose.
The man must hang.
Maybe his nerve will bear him.
They've got to try to nail him.
They've got to trail and jail him now.
Murder! No matter who would blame him, till they pull what's his name in.
Two murders,
much worse than the first two murders.
That makes it murders three and four.
That makes it murders three and four.
I've heard a terrible Bessie.
I hear extremely messy.
And poor old Archie is no more.
They say there's lots of blood and gore.
That's all in the last 8 days. It's London's latest craze.
This time he was in poor pain. And he may come back again.
Until the killer's found. There's danger all around.
Thank you.
That was Murder, Murder from Jekyll and Hyde, the original Broadway cast recording. And congratulations going out to Joshua in Torrington. He was the winner of that pair of tickets to go see Murder on the Orient Express, which is opening next weekend, November 4th, running all the way through November 19th at the Warner's Nancy Marine Studio Theater. And if you called and didn't win, I do apologize. I'd love to give away more tickets, but the theaters do have to sell some as well. So if you're interested in seeing the show, I strongly encourage you, go to warnertheater.org and pick your tickets, and you can pick your seats even for Murder on the Orient Express. It's going to be fabulous. And I'm joined this morning by Marilyn Olson and Mike Ziska from the cast of Murder on the Orient Express. And the question to both of you, how is this cast a bunch of actors that are familiar to you? Is this a lot of new faces? Is it a mix of some old, some new? What's the dynamic there?
Well, from my standpoint, it's definitely a mixture. There are people that I have not worked with before, one of whom is Mike.
Really?
So it's been a great pleasure getting to know him and watching him work. The guy came to the first rehearsal off book, and we won't mention that again.
Not
very, very intimidating, but several people that I have worked with before, Patrick and David Macarelli, Olivia Wadsworth, but several people that I have not worked with.
Yeah, like, and for me, it's Patrick is the only other person I've worked with.
Oh.
So it's great getting to know Marilyn, and we have a really terrific cast.
Really?
You know, everybody's working hard. Everybody really has good characters, so I think it's going to be fun for the audience. I really do.
Yeah, there's when you went through the list, there's several names that I recognize. Jonathan Zelaski, I know. Patrick, I know. Olivia, I've seen on stage before. David Macarelli, you know. But there's also some names that I don't recognize. And that's one of the fun things, I think, about going to theater, is that you always see some new person that's performing, and maybe that person jumps out at you, and you're like, oh, wow, that's really great. I'd love to see that person in something else. And, you know, it's yes, there are some familiar faces, but it's community theater. It's always churning through new faces, new people, and keeping things fresh. And with a production like this, which I don't think it's been around anywhere else.
Curtain Call did it down in Stamford last year. That's when I saw that production, and I decided I really, if I ever see the auditions for that, I really wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Ann Alford, played the part that I'm playing and did a very nice job.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But other than that, I don't think that it's been done.
Yeah. So it's a chance for people to see something new and maybe someone new in it. So now we know, Marilyn, why you got involved in it. Mike, what made you decide to throw your hat in the ring for...
Well, to tell you the truth, it's getting harder and harder at my age to find
age-appropriate
characters. Well, no, you're not quite up there with me, fortunately, Marilyn. But no, I mean, obviously the part is iconic. Hercule Poirot is an iconic character, and just to have the opportunity to do something of that nature is really, really exciting to me. I'm thrilled that I got the opportunity to do it here.
Even if you're working with Patrick?
Even if I'm working with Patrick, yeah.
I'm sorry, Patrick, I had to.
That's how much
Poor
I wanted
Patrick.
To do the show, that being with Patrick was not was not an obstacle.
The two of them crack each other up constantly.
He is Monsieur Bouc.
Yes.
Monsieur Bouc.
One of Poirot's rare friends.
Yes.
Poirot is a complicated man and doesn't have many friends, so the fact that Monsieur Bouc is one of his friends is very interesting.
He finds Poirot tolerable.
I almost wonder if it's one of those, like, I don't want to say, like, observing an animal in the zoo, but that book looks at him as, like, you're so weird. I'm curious as to what's going to happen next, you know? That person I keep around for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, he's extraordinarily tolerant, too, I think.
But, you know, Book was not in the original story.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was an invention of Ken Ludwig. Mm-hmm. And he's a great invention of Ludwig, too.
He moves the plot along very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And I think he also helps to humanize Poirot a little bit.
He does.
Poirot is so far above everybody that... audiences might have trouble relating to him, and Book might be the vehicle by which we can access Poirot in a way we otherwise wouldn't be able to.
Right.
And the story like this, you've got a countess, you've got a...
princess,
you've got a famed Belgian inspector, you've got the Orient Express traveling from Istanbul to Paris. That is... that is a strata that most people don't normally frequent.
Right.
But there has to be that human element here, and I think that's one of the things that Agatha Christie did well, was give characters a chance to be accessible and real on a level that all audiences could relate to. So, like, for instance, Marilyn, I'm sure with you being the oft-widowed world traveler, there's still something about Mrs. Hubbard that audiences can plug right into.
Oh, I think that people will relate to her. she ticks a lot of boxes. I didn't say she was a oft widowed. Said she had several husbands.
A long line of... I made an assumption, and that's my fault. I shouldn't do that.
Again, was she widowed? Did she make herself widowed? Ooh.
I don't know.
Anyway, lots of husbands. But yes, I think that she's also, but actually not just her, because even though there are, you know, there's a princess and a countess, the countess comes from, she's quote commoner, unquote, before she married into royalty. There is a missionary, there's a governess. So there's really the whole strata of kind of economic statuses, even though they're all in the first class coach, there's several reasons for that to happen.
Sure. And that's also interesting, the concept of being set on a train. And in an era where train travel was far more luxurious than we think of it today.
Exactly.
I think most people think train travel, they think of, you know, like the metro, taking a subway, taking an L train, something like that.
Yeah.
But it used to be the stylish way to travel about anywhere. It was to take a train, take a sleeper car, and have an attendant that would come and turn down the bed for you. And
that's even true today in Europe.
Mm.
I mean, largely in Europe, there is so much of travel in Europe that takes place by train. People think nothing of it. And the trains, generally speaking, are certainly better than Metro North.
Which is not to say that Metro North is not a very nice way to travel back and forth between, you know, Connecticut and New York and whatnot, but it lacks some of the luxury that
exactly.
Well, I think that in some iteration, the Orient Express still comes and goes.
Yes,
I do see sometimes that there are tickets available on a current Orient Express, and it's supposed to be quite luxurious.
If you go for that kind of thing.
If you do,
you know, I don't know. It embraces a pace that we don't often embrace anymore. We're so fast today.
That is also true. Even though planes were available at that time, they were not certainly something that people took much.
Mm.
And for the most part, they would take either ships or trains. And kind of further to the locked room kind of thing that we were talking about, not only is it on a train, the train is stalled because
yes.
it hits a snowdrift.
Mm-hmm.
So they're stuck there. And that increases the tension and stress of the kind of the milieu of the show.
Oh, well, now you've got people that are supposed to be getting to a destination, perhaps to catch another train or perhaps to whatever. So they're already anxious to get going again. But one of them, two of them, however many of them, who knows, may be a killer, and you don't want to be hanging around. You don't want to be caught. You want to get out of there as quick as you can. So,
and the other people don't want to be around somebody who might be a murderer.
Right.
So
one person's already
tense.
Dead. How long before another person's dead? Which takes me back to, and then there were none. That's another locked room mystery.
There you go.
But a very different approach, as you were alluding to earlier, Mike, that there is no Hercule Poirot, and bodies keep dropping. Maybe the presence of Poirot will be enough to keep more bodies from hitting the floor in Murder on the Orient Express, which, of course, is coming to the Warner Theater, opening next weekend, the 4th of November, running all the way through the 19th of November. You can go to warnertheater.org for tickets and information. And, you know, why don't we take a quick pause for a song, and then we'll come back, we'll talk about the weather, and we can start to wrap things up, because it's already, oh my goodness, it's 9:49. So, yeah, we'll pause for a quick song. This is from The Mystery of Edwin Drood, a musical murder mystery. This is The Wages of Sin.
Crying crime don't pay. That's what I tells them. If it did, would I be here? Mixing pipes, what then I sells them for a pint of rotten beer. Throats you cut to pocket threepence, or you slut to cop some sleep. Bash your face for bleeding tuppence. Pure disgrace to work so cheap. So I say, don't be a sinner for the price of London gin. You can't pay for one square dinner with the wages of a sin. Cheers. Sell me so, call of come off it. Who would buy this sack of skin? On the whole, there ain't much profit in the wages of a sin. In the wages of a sin. In the wages of a sin. I've seen girls from gutter families trap rich men with fluttery ways, and their cool call past the jam, please, over nuptial breakfast trays. Over there in bed 11 sleeps a bleeding hypocrite, spends his days eyes cast to heaven, spends most nights among that shit. I do beg your pardon, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't mean to. I mean, I assure you that that will never ever happen again. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Shit. That's why I say, don't take half measures. Do things right and dig right in. In this world, there's greater treasures than the wages of a sin. I get threats, but seldom offers. If I did, I'd pack it in. You can't fill that many coffers with the wages of a sin. Now give your old love some help with that last line, will you then? All right, all together now. You can do better than that. Now get off your bums and give us the notes then, eh? Now.
That was The Wages of Sin here on Backstage on WZBG, and it's 9:53, so we should talk about the weather before we run out of time. So I think, Mike, you're going to kick it off, aren't you?
Sure, and today will be sunny with near record warmth this afternoon, high of 75 to 80. Tonight it will be increasing clouds with a low 45 to 50.
Sunday, thickening morning clouds with rain developing midday, cooler with a high in the 50s. Sunday night, showers likely, low in the 40s. Monday, with periods of rain, high in the 50s. And Halloween, partly to mostly sunny, chilly, highs 45 to 50.
And very spooky.
Ooh. Of course. It's currently about 65 degrees here at our WZBG studios in Litchfield, and it's nice to have a dry Saturday and to have a reasonably good forecast for Halloween. You know, I can't remember how many times Halloween was cold and rainy when I was younger, and so it'll be chilly, but at least right now they're saying it's going to be dry, so.
Hopefully the kids can wear their jackets under their costumes instead of over them.
Yeah, and get in their trick-or-treating. Although I don't think they do it as much as they used to.
Not
now it's
so
all
much.
That, like,
no.
What do they call it? Trunk-or-treating.
Yeah. Or in the malls and stuff, which is safer.
I don't know. I mean, it's a different time, I guess.
Absolutely.
I grew up, we had a neighborhood, and you knew your neighbors, and, you know, you could go around, and there wasn't too much concern. And but the world is what the world is.
Much different, unfortunately.
Mm. So now, you must have rehearsal on Halloween night, then.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Tech week.
Oh, we do.
Okay.
So we'll be trick-or-treating with each other.
The ultimate costume party.
Rehearsal that night will be one big trick.
One hopes.
Well, hopefully, by, I mean, that's Tuesday, so, you know, hopefully things are starting to lock in and feel more I know you're just getting to the set tomorrow, but it's amazing how quickly things can start to feel natural and fall into place.
Well, Tech Week really is magical because, actually, I think, knock wood, this cast is pretty darn prepared. Mm-hmm. Everybody got off book pretty quickly, and we've been, you know, just sort of sliding through our rehearsals for the last week or so. Mm. But the growth that a show takes from Sunday to that opening day is just incredible.
Yes.
To me. It's part of the magic of theater, I think.
Mm.
You get those costumes and the hair and the set.
Oh, yeah. And the Warner has such a fabulous costume department. Renee Purdy, the head costumer over there.
Goddess.
Works magic. And
yeah, the costumes are gorgeous in this show, too. Men and women. They're really, really nice.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention your director, Keith Paul, who he's directed, he's performed, he's done it all. How's it been working with Keith?
Oh, Keith is a riot. Oh, he's great. Very organized, very considerate of people's time, knows what he wants, and really, really a great pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. It's the first time I've worked with Keith as a director, and he's just been terrific.
Can't say enough good things about Keith. He's a friend of me, friend of the show, friend of the Warner and theater in general. All around great guy. He did direct me once, I gotta say. But I'd love to be in another production that he was running, because just a great time.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely great time.
Always good.
Yeah, I think that about covers it. So, Mike and Marilyn, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning to talk all about the show.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure, Eric.
I look forward to seeing it. It's a favorite of mine, and to know so many wonderful people in the cast, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be amazing, I'm sure. To the audience that's listening out there, it's Murder on the Orient Express, November 4th through the 19th at the Warner Theater's Nancy Marine Studio Theater, and tickets can be found at warnertheater.org. So I encourage you all, get out there, check it out, and enjoy it as it sort of comes in right at the tail end of Halloween. It's the perfect sort of follow-up to spooky season, a murder mystery. Why not?
And good luck to you kicking off the holiday season in all is calm.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's. I'm glad we have more time to prepare. I'll just put it that way. Not that it's not. It's coming along. It's just, it's a lot. So, as you well know with the shows you've done in the past. So, next week, folks, no guests. So it's just going to be me. I apologize, but, you know, hopefully I can make it interesting. And in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a song from a show that I really enjoy, that I hope comes around again, not too far off. This is from A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, the song Poison in My Pocket. Have a great week, everybody.
And I go sailing by, and no one will know where to find us. Unseen, unknown, and blissfully alone, we're leaving the riffraff behind us. All afternoon in our sweet cocoon, our cares for the moment at bay. Side by side, who knows how far we'll glide. Bid the world goodbye, eagerly we fly away.
I'm standing here with poison in my pocket, standing on this frozen little dock. It seems that I've just let them skate my opportunity away. If I'd had the poise to put the poison in a pot of tea or else a shot of gin, I would be back amid the noise of London by the end of day. But I am standing here with poison in my pocket, one eye on the target, one eye on the clock. It better happen soon before I lose my nerve and run. If I had a knife, I could have grabbed him, then discreetly knocked him on the head and stabbed him, not to mention what I would have done if I had had a gun. Then again, the thought occurs, if I had truly taken stock, it might have stopped me putting poison in my pocket. What a fool to travel all this way and not think twice. Murder's not a hobby for the cautious, thoughts of violence can make the timid nauseous. Unless, of course, the victim plunges headlong.
WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington, Litchfield County's favorite.